Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
October 14th, 2008, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, found treasure. Well, welcome back to another digital story. I'm going to talk about something today that practically every spouse in the world is going to hate me after this podcast. Every spouse of every photographer who's like me, who has stuff stashed away that is just lying dormant, and that would probably stay that way if it weren't for folks like me talking about how cool it is to drag it out of the closet, to drag it out of the storage shed, to drag it out of the garage and play with it. That's right. And that's what I'm talking about today. The reason why I'm bringing this up, because here we are in 2008, and for me anyway, digital photography is entering its second decade. And what I mean by that is digital photography where I actually use a digital camera to take the pictures, right? Not just, scanning stuff and all that. That had been around for a little bit before. But I'm talking about digital photography in the sense where I'm using a digital camera to capture the picture and then doing something with it on a computer. So in honor of this second decade, I thought, well, could I put together my original system, the very first thing that I used? And this is where people are going to hate me. I could, and I did. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this today because it's sort of fun, and especially the specifications of this original equipment compared to what we're using today. And, you know, I have to tell you, the specifications are a lot different, but the joy was just as intense as it is right now when I do digital photography. Okay, so what did I start out with? Well, I was a photographer of modest means when I started in, this whole thing. I was a film photographer working for local newspapers, and anyone who's doing that knows that there isn't a lot of money involved with that. So I didn't have a lot of money to toss around on new equipment that I really couldn't use for clients. I mean, the original digital cameras for the consumers were fine to play with, but you certainly couldn't do it on an assignment. So I finally bought my first digital camera. It was a Kodak DC20. I bought it in January of 1997. This is my very first digital camera. Guess what? I still have it today. And one of the nice things about it, it uses a lithium battery that's a standard size. So I kept everything. I do keep a lot of stuff. Actually, here's my philosophy on keeping stuff, then I'll get back to the camera. I try to keep stuff that is in workable condition, that I possibly could use and hook together with something else. So if something is broken, if something just doesn't work, then I recycle it. I let it go. Unless it is special in the sense that it was a very unique device and that someday will end up in my, I have this thing where I'm going to have someday a house big enough or a studio big enough where I can have these glass cases like you see in the museum. And I'll have all of my old equipment, my cool equipment, in those glass cases with little cards that say what they are and when they were used and all that kind of stuff. So I do keep, and I know this is crazy, I do keep a certain amount of that old equipment, even if it doesn't work, because it fills a niche. It was part of an era where I don't have something else to represent that time. But generally speaking, I try to discipline myself so that I only hang on to stuff that works. So one of the things that I hung on to and that I dug out of the closet for this, you know, new decade of digital photography to celebrate the first decade was this Kodak DC20 that I bought in January 1997. You want to guess how much I paid for it? I paid $179.99 for this camera. Now, what did $180 get me in 1997? Well, it got me a camera that has no LCD, had an optical viewfinder, so there was no way to review my pictures after I took them. It got me a camera that had two resolution settings, high and low. The high resolution setting was 493 pixels by 373 pixels. The low resolution setting was 320 by 240 pixels. That's what $180 got me back in 1997. Now, the way that I used the camera was that you would take pictures through the optical viewfinder, you'd press the shutter, and you'd get kind of a faux shutter sound. A yellow light would flash while it was processing the pictures. And then when the yellow light stopped, you could take another picture. Now, at high resolution, you know, at this whopping 493 by 373 pixels, there was enough memory in the camera to take 8 pictures. After you took 8 pictures, then you had to upload the images to your computer. And the way that you would do that, it came with a couple cables, and I was a Macintosh user then, so it had a serial port cable that you would plug into the modem serial port, communications port, and then you plug the other end into the camera, you turn it on, you would launch the software, and then you would download the pictures from the camera onto your computer. After this downloading process finished, then you had your first opportunity to actually see what you had taken. Before that time, it was just like film. You didn't know what you had until it was processed. Now, you could download 2 types of files. You could either download them as PICT files, P-I-C-T files, which was the high resolution version. These were uncompressed, and you could open those PICT files in Photoshop, or if you just wanted to look at them, you could open them in SimpleText. SimpleText could read those files, and they were uncompressed. Or you could take a look at them, or you could download them as JPEGs, and this was the lower resolution way to go. And they would be slightly compressed as JPEGs are, and I believe you had 2 resolution settings, or 2 compression settings, I mean, for the JPEG, so there's a high and a low. So if you're trying to save space on your computer by downloading low resolution 320 by 240 files, compressed JPEGs, you can imagine you're not having a whole lot to work with there. You don't even have enough to make a snapshot print, but you could look at them on your computer. You could attach them to emails and send them to other people, and you could put them on the web, on a web page, and you know how web pages looked in 1997 for the most part, not that great, but you could put them on a web page. So you could do stuff with these images, and it was interesting, the camera had no flash or anything like that, but it had a relatively high ISO. I think the ISO was way up there, like around 1,000, you know, which was just crazy in those days. But it allowed you to take pictures in all sorts of lighting conditions. And yes, they were grainy, as you would expect, but you're going, oh my gosh, I just took a picture indoors with no flash, with just existing lighting, and it shows up on my computer. And I can send it to my friend. So this was pretty exciting stuff. Now, so, okay, so I have this DC20, this Kodak DC20. that uses a serial port for connection. That's the only way you can get pictures off it. There's no removable memory card. The memory card is, you know, in there. And that's, you know, that's where it stays. So the only way to get things out is via serial port. So this is where kind of where you need to not only keep maybe the old camera, but maybe an old computer to go with the camera. And as you can imagine, this is what I do. So I had an old computer also that I hung on to. It was a PowerBook, an old PowerBook. It was the 1400CS/166. Now, this PowerBook was, in its day, was also pretty hot stuff. I believe I bought it in 1998. I'm not sure, but I think it was might have been even 97. I think I bought it in 97. And I don't remember exactly how much I paid for it, but it seemed like a lot at the time. It really did. It seemed like it was around $2,000. Now, so what does this machine have? Well, it has, I filled it up with RAM back when I bought it. I just to the gills. So it does have 64 megabytes of RAM. Not gigabytes, 64 megabytes of RAM. And the processor, you know, was a slower 166 processor that, computers were sort of my way of hot rodding, right? Like people in my dad's generation, they would soup up their cars. And, you know, people still do that, right? Although it's you have to have an older car. It's harder to soup up a modern car because of the computers. Well, I would soup up computers. And in those days, you could actually sort of do that. So I actually put in a newer tech PowerPC G3 upgrade card that boosts the speed up to 270 megahertz. So I had 270 megahertz of raw power with 64 megabytes of RAM. And a Mac in those days, of course, was running, or where it left off running, was System 9. So System 9 software, which was actually the last release before OS 10, which is what we're all using today. So, you know, OS 10 really started coming on the scene around 2000. Prior to that, you know, we had System 8 and System 9. And System 9 was sort of the pinnacle of the Mac software at that time. You know, it had been evolving over those years, and System 9 was like, this is where it ended up before we switched to something completely different, before we switched to OS 10. And System 9 is kind of fun to use. And if for those of you that are Mac users, if you haven't used it for a while, you might get a kick out of it. So I have this PowerBook, and so I kept everything for it. And it has these removable bays. It's so cool. So it came with a floppy drive. That's this removable drive that goes in this bay and it clicks in there. And then you can pull that out, and then it has a CD reader, not a burner, but a reader. So you can read CDs with it. And so that you could pull out the floppy drive and put in the CD reader. And then I bought two additional drives for it. I bought an additional hard drive so I could augment the hard drive that came with it. And this was quite an upgrade. I bought a 1.3 gigabyte external or slot hard drive that would go in this bay to give me mountains of extra storage. So I had an additional 1.3 gigabytes of storage. And I thought I could travel to Nepal and never have to worry about storage. And I also bought an extra battery. And the battery that that comes with that computer is a nickel metal hydride battery. It wasn't lithium ion. They weren't using those yet. It was a NIMH battery. So, you know, they did have, you know, memory issues and things like that. And you had to season them and you had to run them down and all that kind of stuff. And their life, You know, actually, their life didn't seem that much shorter than the lithium ions we have today. You know, and that's the thing. You know, we look back and we go, God, how do we survive in those days? Well, actually, the stuff worked, you know, it worked pretty well. And I have two of those batteries for this power book. And one of them is in really good shape. The other one's kind of doggy. It doesn't seem to have much memory left. But the other one charged up all the way when I pulled out of the closet, and I can actually walk around the house with the PowerBook 1400 and use it in battery mode. So that's kind of cool. I also have on the accessory list, I have the cigarette lighter adapter for it. So, you know, again, talk about being a man on the go. That was me. So I could take my PowerBook in my car, plug it into the cigarette adapter and a cigarette lighter adapter, and actually use my computer in the car. And believe me, I thought I was pretty hot stuff. And at that time, I was putting it in, I believe, a 1998 Ford Taurus. I think that's right. Not a pretty car, I have to tell you. But it was roomy, and I'm a big guy. And I got a good deal on it. I bought it used. And so driving around in my Ford Taurus with the PowerBook connected via the cigarette lighter adapter, I was with my Kodak DC20 digital camera, I was a man on the go. So today, how does this all work? Well, the one thing I was missing, and I know I have the software somewhere, but this is a good reminder. When you're keeping all of this stuff, try to keep everything and try to keep it in the original box. So in the original camera box, that's how I know how much I paid for it and when I bought it, because it actually had the price tag and all that information on the outside. So I had the camera, the DC20, and I had all the cables both for Windows machines and for Macs. And I had all the documentation. The one thing that wasn't in there was the floppy disk. Now, I know I have the floppy disk somewhere because I kept all that stuff and I separated it, which was a mistake. I know better than that. So what you really want to do is you want to keep the software and the cables, documentation, everything in the original box, and then you store that box. And, I mean, that's true for stuff you have today, right? Because the camera that you have today that you're going to possibly hang on to, that you're not going to put on eBay or whatever, you want to hang on to it. Well, 10 years from now, that's going to be found treasure, right? I mean, right now, it's, hey, it's my camera. Or, you know, it's the camera that I just replaced. But 10 years from now, it's going to be a big deal when you pull that puppy out. So you want to make sure that you keep everything together in the original box. So you have the box, you have the documentation, you have the battery charger, any cables, any software, all that stuff. Have it all together, because that way, when you do pull it out later on, then you have everything you need. And then the same thing goes with your computer. The way that I work old computers that I hang on to, I go by the system what I call freeze them in time. So I don't try to upgrade old computers with new software, because it sort of defeats the purpose of having an old computer, in my view. I already have a new computer with new software. I don't need to try to put old software. I mean, I don't need to try to put new software on an old computer. The whole idea of having an old computer is having those old applications, right? So that when you need to put a floppy disk in that has a file on it that requires some old version of software, you have the old version of software on the computer and you can actually read the file. And if you can read the file, then you have some hope of you know, taking a screenshot of it or converting it or doing something to where you can get that information. So the way that I do my computers, my old ones, is that it is freeze them in time. I leave the old system software on there. I leave all the old applications on there. And then on the important applications, I try to hang on to the old software disk too. So if for some reason I have to reinstall, I'm able to do that. So I had done that with the PowerBook 1400. And it had System 9 on it, and it had, you know, actually Photoshop 5.5 on there, which I was fairly impressed with that. I was staying pretty current, I guess, when I closed that computer down. But the thing that it didn't have on there, believe it or not, was the software for the Kodak DC20. You know, that was like, ack, I can't believe it. You know, it has everything else and it doesn't have that. So I did a Google search for it, and I actually found the software online, and I was able to download it. Now, the 1400 obviously doesn't have wireless internet and all that sort of stuff. It does have a modem, but I didn't feel like going through all that setting up the modem, and I hate modems anyway. That's one thing. I'm really glad that modems are in our past for the most part. So what it does have, it has a PC card slot. So what I did is I got an old CF card, and I put it in the PC card slot reader and put it in the old PowerBook, and then I formatted that card. And then I took it out of there, and then I have one of my older PowerBooks that, you know, the metal ones, the modern ones that run OS X, still has a PC card slot. It was before they went to the newer, smaller slot. So I put the card in there, and it could read it. So great. So now I have a way to talk to the two. You know, I can connect my old PowerBook 1400 to the universe via this newer computer. So I found the software, and it was actually called DC20-25 Link 1.1 software, shareware. And I downloaded it, and then I copied it onto the CF card, pulled the card out of the newer computer, put it in the 1400, copied it onto the desktop in the 1400, launched it, and it worked. And it worked. It ran on OS 9, connected the DC20 camera via the serial cable, and sure enough, I could download pictures off it. So then I went around the house taking shots of stuff, and then connected the camera and downloaded them onto the PowerBook 1400, and I was in business. It was like going back to 1998, 10 years ago, and how digital photography was then. Now, this isn't just an exercise in nostalgia. This is, for me, and this is the way I feel about history in general, it's about perspective for me, and it's fun. I really enjoy doing this. But it's about perspective to see, in some ways, how far we've come in 10 years, and in other ways, how far we really haven't come in 10 years. It's interesting to me. I mean, the pictures were still good with a DC20. The resolution was very low. But in terms of quality and stuff, I wasn't using a flash. I was taking indoor pictures, and they looked kind of neat. They were sort of grainy and all that, but they were definitely usable. The workflow wasn't bad at all. The software to download them, it was obviously slower than software today. But I got uncompressed files onto the PowerBook. I could open them in Photoshop. I could adjust them and do things with them, and I could send them along. And I'm actually going to, with this podcast, I'll publish a shot that I took with the DC20 just for fun. So, this was sort of a cool thing. This whole setup was a very cool thing. And in some ways, it reminded me that, yes, we've gone through a lot in 10 years, but it hasn't changed that much. And in a way, that's sort of hopeful for me, because the things that we're learning today and, you know, spending our time and our energy and our money on, hopefully we'll still be able to use 10 years moving forward. So it was a lot of fun. So my lesson here, or, you know, the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, it is cool to save tools, and I like it a lot. And try to save everything that you'll need in order to use it in the future. And you don't have to save everything you have. But if you have the room and you are able to hang on to some stuff and put it away, it's a great exercise. Now, if you have stuff put away right now, this is where spouses hate me. If you have time, and rainy season's coming up in North America and all that, pull it out and play with it and see what you can do. And if you do something interesting, if you find, you know, if you have found treasure yourself, make sure you add a comment to the show notes for this podcast, because I want to hear about it. I love this stuff, and I love talking about it. Okay, I'm going to move on now. First of all, I want to talk about this month's photo assignment, and it's missing. Missing is the October photo assignment, and this has all sorts of possibilities. It's a little challenging, but I hope you rise to the challenge and send in a picture for missing. And I want to thank my sponsors. I want to thank Photomagico by Boink Software, the best slideshow software in the world. And I want to thank Red River Paper Company, who I just think make terrific inkjet papers. And they both have tiles on the Digital Story, and you can go check out their sites. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for me today. I think I've gotten you in enough trouble. Don't let your spouse know that you heard it here. And if you start digging around in the closet or the garage or the storage shed, just say, you know, you were just feeling a little nostalgic and you want to see if you can find that old camera or that old computer. And if you end up with a good story, please, please drop me a line or add a comment to the show notes. I want to hear about it. All right. Next week, we'll get back to the modern world. For now, hope you have a great week, and I will see you back here next week on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.